Hello and welcome to Matt's Truck and Grip Podcast. This is Matt Ireland hosting once again, and today I'm sat with my good friend Carl Kindlysides, another former TruckNet veteran.
Hey.
Carl, how are you?
I'm not too bad, mate.
Jolly good?
Dull old day.
Yeah, enjoying your day off?
I certainly am, mate, yeah.
Yeah, with your nice new hectic work schedule of three days a week,
yeah.
Very civilised, yeah.
Getting old, mate. Getting
People say I don't do much. Well, yeah. well they're right, to be fair. Yeah, it's six hours today and then about three tomorrow, so, you know, I think that'll do.
That's
enough,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to say we've done enough in our time, but... people probably
you can
argue
never
that.
Do enough. Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll take it right back to the beginning. I mean, I know roughly, but how and why did you get into transport? What was the interest?
Well, probably like a lot of other people on here who's listening to this. It's my dad, really.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah. He was a driver.
My dad started driving when I was about six or seven. I worked for Burroughs.
Burroughs of Bressingham?
Burroughs of Bressingham, yeah.
Yeah, it's a well-known name that's long gone, isn't it?
Local. I do remember he came home one day in his eight-wheeler AEC Timber.
Yeah.
And I thought, bloody hell, look at that.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. And, I just started going with him as often as I could, and he obviously changed jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We eventually got up to... Barhams, I used to go out with him a lot at Barhams when they had Sid and Atkinson's and F7s and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he started doing Continental, so you know, bloody hell.
Yeah.
Bunk Oskill for some of that.
Too right. Was that McKay's, wasn't it?
No. It was a bloke in disc called Freddie Barham. He started doing it originally.
Okay.
With a F88 and an old, I think that's a two-axle. Looking at the picture I got, I think that was a trailer, the French.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
French trailer.
Or tilt.
Yeah, tilt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two-axle tilt with an F88. And then he had a brand new F10, flat roof, obviously, but T-Reg it was, DVG something. I don't know. I don't know about number plates, but, yeah, flat roof F10. And
where was he going with it? Mostly France?
Done quite
Spain
a lot. No. He'd done a lot of Switzerland.
Yeah.
A bit of Italy and a bit of... I'd done a bit of Germany as well, but I think that was mainly, from memory, that was mainly Swiss.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What, floating around this way somewhere?
I honestly can't remember. I just wanted to get in the lorry and go to Switzerland. I don't care where he picked a little from.
Who cares?
Let's get going.
Can you remember where you used to ship out from then? Was it Felixstowe or he'd be down?
I don't know.
Can't remember.
If
you ask.
Yeah, I should have asked.
Ask old Naomi. Well, it's not really relevant, I suppose.
Like you said, with McKay's that forms at near Long Stratton, they had a bit of a reputation, and I'm not saying nothing else. And he fitted in well there.
Yeah.
Dad done a lot of Italy.
Well, that was another quite well-known name on the scene, wasn't it,
that
McKay's?
That was, yeah, at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
I had about seven or eight. I mean, when Dad started there, he had a 141, and then he got the old, if you're a truck mate regularly, you'll probably remember the photos they kept putting up with my dad with his 142, the old ex-Russell Davis 142 tag axle. He used to go out with a tilt. Occasionally he'd go out with a fridge, but mainly that was tilt work to Italy, and that was... You know, that's proper work. That wasn't messing about.
No,
you know?
No. Get down and get back.
Crack on. Yeah. I remember him saying, Alex said, I wouldn't ever ask you to do something I wouldn't do myself.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah. Well, there was plenty of them at the time, weren't there? But
they also
liked to do a fair bit themselves, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Money.
Well, that's it, you know. Yeah. I've said it before as well, but so many people were up to that sort of thing at the time.
Every man and his dog was it.
You were sort of in the minority if you were sticking to the letter of the law. Even the bigger companies that you wouldn't have thought.
Every man and his dog.
That's it. I suppose it was easier at the time to fiddle and get around, wasn't it? So.
Definitely.
Fair enough. So obviously when you left school... We're of an age that we couldn't just go driving straight away. So what do you do in between then?
Well, I could, because of my age, obviously 16, you could leave early if you was born before a certain date. I don't know if that's still a thing now.
Okay.
And luckily I could.
Yeah.
So just to get out of school and start getting some money, my auntie, she worked in a basically what you'd call a battery hen farm.
Okay.
So she got me a job there and was just basically walking up and down the sheds with a broom, just sweeping the floor.
Yeah.
I got so dusty in that.
Yeah.
That was basically my job for about a year, year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got into my driving career.
Yeah.
I think I was about 18, coming on 18. That was with a bloke called Ralph Smith. He had some trucks, 7 or 8 trucks, mainly Scanias. He had a F6 Rigid, what was on a furniture contract. And he had 2 7.5 tonners doing egg work.
Okay.
Delivering eggs for Daylay Eggs, whose main place was in Bilsthorpe, I think.
Yeah.
And, I started running down to London.
So you got your basically. So you got your car licence and then...
Yeah, so yeah, yeah, I got my car licence at 18,
you were allowed... That's right, isn't it? From memory?
Yeah, I think 18, you could do it at 17, to be fair. I'm positive you could drive at 17.
Yeah.
Just how things worked out.
Yeah. I thought you could pass your car test when you're 17 and at 18 you could drive a 7.5 tonner, but I could be...
That's a long time ago,
wasn't it?
Mid-80s.
Yeah. So you got in your 7.5 tonner.
Yeah, and I'd never been out on my own anywhere apart from down the local town from where I lived.
Yeah.
And we're up sea.
Up sea.
Up sea, up Norwich.
Yeah.
Come on, the sea. And, my first drop was, I had about 17 or 18 drops of eggs.
Flipping egg.
Around sort of northeast London.
Ah.
All around.
Baptism of fire.
Baptism of fire, yeah. Bloody hell. Walthamstow, all around that sort of area, down to Barking and that, all those, some private houses, a lot of little corner shops and Iceland's. I used to supply Iceland's frozen food shop.
Yeah. What was the truck?
I had a little Ford Cargo.
Ford Cargo?
Yeah.
Day cab or sleep?
Day cab.
Day cab, yeah.
There was a job I used to do every week on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. I used to start at Red Hill. Go all the way down to Brighton.
Yeah.
I'd done about 6 drops by the time I got to Brighton. Then I'd turn right and go out towards Dorchester way and then come back along the coast, finish up in Ramsgate, I think.
Yeah.
And have a night out just off the M11 or somewhere around that vicinity and poodle in the next day and do a little job in the afternoon and then get back on the Londons for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
So
sleeping across the seats?
Yeah, sleeping in a proper truck. And mate.
Yeah. Do you have any curtains?
I'll show you the photo.
Yeah, oh, brilliant.
Yeah, I made some curtains up and that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, had all my flags.
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be
King
done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. King of the Road, too, right?
I loved it, I loved it. Then my mate was working, Bob, who we both know.
Yeah.
I was speaking to Bob, my mate Bob Rudge. All right, Bob. And he said about a job at Cartco at Dis, where they were mainly a bulk hauler.
Mm.
And but they had some curtain siders doing deliveries for printers in Dis, magazines. They used to do the TV Times and that for East Anglia, and they used to deliver free newspaper down in London called Loot. I don't know if they're still going.
That vaguely rings a bell. Yeah, a bit like free ads, wasn't it? Loot, I think.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big thing. And I said to Bob, I don't know. I said, I didn't really, you know, I've only done London. And he said, well, that's what they want, really.
Yeah.
So I went to see the bloke in the office. He said, do you know London? I said, yeah, to be fair, I know it quite well now. Yeah, I know it quite well now. So, he said, hey, when can you start? So off I went on that.
Yeah, still on a 7.5 tonner?
Still on a 7.5 tonner, sorry, yeah. D749 ULG. That is an Iveco, what was the number on that? 7914 or something.
Yeah.
Horrible thing. That had a proper ratchet handbrake.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have no power steering.
Yeah. Bit of a step down from the Cargo, was it? Yeah.
Oh, massively. But that was a massive step up work wise.
Yeah.
You'd obviously do these multi-drops of newspapers and TV Times and all that.
Yeah.
But I was starting with the Trampers and finishing with them, you know.
Yeah.
I'd go out on a Sunday morning and get home on a Friday night.
Just sleep a cab again?
Sleeping in my day cab.
In your day cab, yeah.
Sleeping across. I took the passenger seat was a double passenger seat.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took the backrest out.
Yeah.
And that was brilliant. I just like filled it up with pillars.
Yeah.
And went to sleep, had my head up the passenger door end.
Yeah.
The gear stick was massive and big old sloppy old gearbox like they are, the gear stick. So obviously pushed that forward. Stepped to right in that. then Carco got bought out by Russell Davis.
Yeah. Linking back to the Scania that your dad had.
Yeah, exactly that. And but they weren't any V8s when they bought Carco.
No.
But, they were sort of impressed with what I was doing because they're all like figures and money and that.
Yeah.
And they said, have you ever thought of going for your test? I said, when I'm old enough, yeah. So about another 8 months, when I was 21, they put me through my test. So I went from this ratty old day cab with homemade curtains in it to brand spanking new H658 AMF.
Yeah.
FL6.
FL6.
And I had a bed in it.
A proper sleeper.
Proper, yeah.
So did they put you through your class one?
Yeah.
Or class two?
Yeah, that time, yeah.
So they put you straight through your Arctic, but you just you just went onto a bigger rigid.
Whatever would the date be?
So
H88, 89, something like that.
About 90-91, wasn't it?
Because
I always sort of remember E-Regis was when the speed limits came out, which was 88.
When they put
the
speed limits.
Yeah, so FGH. So it'd be very early 90s around that time.
So I had this FL6, and that was brilliant. I was going everywhere.
Same sort of work?
Same work, just heavier.
Yeah.
Yeah, used to do a lot of Scotland. Always used to go out on a Sunday to Scotland.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it. Adored it.
Yeah.
Then they... Russell Davis, they helped towards the demise of Burroughs, where my dad worked, as I said. Russell Davis took over all the distribution at Obel Warehousing, what was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Obel Warehousing got took over by a company called MacGregor Cory.
Yeah.
And Burroughs was still in there, but Russell Davis, because they were quite, what's the word, not lethal, but.
Ruthless
is the word.
Yeah.
They went in there and they undercut Burroughs.
Yeah.
So that was virtually the end of Burroughs after that.
Right.
And, we was working out of there and that was great because I didn't do any papers then.
Yeah.
There were so many companies in there they used all the storage there.
Yeah.
There's like about 25 different companies, but we done all the distribution for them.
Right.
And I'd sometimes, I might go out with a full load one day or I might go out with 15 drops, different stuff, but all from that site.
Yeah.
And that was brilliant. I loved that.
Real variety.
Yeah, and we got a brand new, I'd only been driving 5 minutes. I had a brand new FL6 and I got a brand new MAM.
Rigid still?
Yeah, another rigid. But that's in MacGregor Cory colours.
Yeah.
MAM.
Is it an F90, I suppose, would it have been?
No, that was what did it have on the door? 17180, something like that.
Mm.
I'll show you a photo. I've got all the photos.
Yeah.
Not very good ones, but I'll show you a photo.
Yeah.
And that was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
But when they put me through my test, it's funny because I went out with the driving assessor, Paul from Mendelsohn, if you know him. He's got a finger missing or hand missing. So he's a lovely old boy.
Yeah.
I went out for an assessment with him when I was in a 7.5 tonner. He said, you'll do your test in 3 days. I said, no. I said, you can't tell them that. He said, why not? I said, well, they're paying. He said, well, how long do you want then? I said, well, can I do it in a fortnight? Yeah, that's fine. So I sort of basically had a 2-week holiday.
Good man.
But I was sharing the driving with another lad taking his test. And Yeah, I think some of my fingernails are still in the seat of the lorry.
Oh, God. Is that good?
Yeah, but they said, that was the Russell Davis thing. They said, we'll put you through your test and obviously you're going from a small lorry to a bigger lorry. We'll put you on that for a year or so.
Yeah.
And then you'll get an Arctic. Yeah. There's nothing personal. That's just how
build some experience.
Yeah, that's just how they operate.
Yeah.
And I just... got a bit knocked off with it.
Yeah.
So when, I want an Arctic. I think, I know they was running FL10s at the time. I don't know why would I want an FL10? What's the radio?
Oh,
yeah.
Come on. Lovely little trucks, FL10s.
Yeah, they were, to be fair. Rose tinted glasses and that.
Yeah.
And they said, no, you carry on. You said you're doing really well.
Yeah.
I was one of the top earners, even though I was only in a rigid.
Mm.
So anyway. A couple of years previously, my sister had married one of the sons at R. Perry and Sons at Botstyle.
Yeah.
And my dad was working there, pulling continental cargo carriers tilts at Felixstowe.
Mm-hmm.
So I was speaking to Robert one Sunday. He said, we're putting his brother, he said, we're putting a new lorry on the road. My brother's going to drive it. So do you want to come and work for me? And I said, we're family and working with family. And I said, yeah, go on then. All right then. So even though I'd signed a contract at Russell Davis, that hadn't expired. That was still running, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That he's paying back. I said, I'm off and I'm not giving you any money.
Yeah.
So, I went off to Perry's and there we got the first Arctic. The
first actual Arctic.
Straight onto an Arctic. G102 VGV, Scania high cab, 113/360.
Yeah. Steel bumper one, isn't it? G.
The old original ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we was pulling tilts.
That was a bit of an eye-opener, wasn't it?
After curtain sliders.
After curtain sliders.
Hell, yeah. I didn't have enough fat on me while I was doing it, I'll tell you.
No. I think, and I'm sure I've said it before as well, but I think a lot of people have, again, quite a rose-tinted view of tilt trailers.
Yeah.
They, I'm glad they're in the past, really.
Yeah. They look good going up a road with a tilt.
Yeah.
But stripping one down.
Especially in the summer or winter, really, isn't it?
But the, I mean, the Continental Cargo Carriers, a lot of their reloads ended up being steel.
Yeah, so in through the roof.
Scunthorpe, Rotherham, Gate 13 at Sheffield. And, that place, that Sheerness.
Sheer stress.
And, nobody would pull the sheet back for you with a crane.
Yeah.
They'd sit there and watch you or have a tea break while you stripped the roof, while you, worked your nuts off, stripping a tilt out. But
Was it Scunthorpe, Rod and Wire? Something, was it? What they called? I can't remember now.
There was a rod. Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, something I tried to blank out.
I was quite lucky because when I was on your route, that was a trailer change. So it was all loaded for you, so you just had to go and strap it all down and then run it when I was pulling for Norfolk Line. So it made it.
That's what they did end up. They did end up doing that.
Yeah.
So obviously that made it a lot better.
Yeah,
that's a lot easier to strap a load than it is to strip a tilt out.
Definitely.
Sit there for 7 hours loading it.
Then put it all back together.
Oh,
yeah.
While you've got your card out. You know?
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah, so that's what they told me they used to do.
That's just
how it was. But that was a great job.
Yeah.
I was there 2 years and then Robert said, the boss, he said, we're getting a couple of new lorries. I said, oh, right, yeah. I don't know what he's talking to me for because I didn't have the oldest lorry and I didn't have the newest lorry.
Yeah.
He said, you can either have a 143 top line, a streamline as well, that was.
Yeah.
Or you can have one of them new, they'd only been out about a year. We didn't really know a lot about them. Or you can have a 420 FH version one, obviously.
Yeah.
420 FH Globetrotter.
Mm.
I said, oh, bloody hell, that's a dilemma.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So I always spoke to my dad. He said, well, it's got to be a V8, isn't it? I said, yeah, but that ain't as easy as that, is it? One of my mates, he was on Triple C, and he had a 420 Globetrotter,
mm-hmm.
and that's a CD trim with all the beautiful, my favourite ever truck, CD trim.
Version 1.
XL Globetrotter.
Lovely motors.
And I said, yeah, it's got like electric seats in it.
And you can stand up.
You can stand
up. And you don't have to get down to the bunk like you do in a free series Scania.
Yeah. But in the end, I just went for the Scania. I wish I'd have gone for the Volvo, to be fair.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
So that was 1995.
Yeah.
I ended up with a brand new V8 420 manual, streamline.
Yeah. And that's also at a time when there was some proper characters down Felix, though, wasn't there? You had IRF, Triple C, and Portbridge, and all the other infamous firms, and some proper infamous drivers as well, really, wasn't there? Which
and there's some blokes you'd think, I'm sure he had been asleep since the last time I saw him.
Yeah,
they'd be like round tripping scotches.
Yeah,
I heard allegedly there was one bloke. He used to do like a scotch or whatever, and he'd get back about midnight, right after round tripping it, and then he'd get a fridge and go and do the markets. Get back about 9 o'clock in the morning, and then just go straight up and do another scotch. Newcastle, and go up north and that.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of them blokes. They're all legends in their own way, and I think they're all catching up on the sleep still now.
I think they are, yeah, if they're still with us, unfortunately.
Yeah, some of them aren't, unfortunately, but...
No,
I mean... they have really nice blokes. I mean, I still know, bump into some of them now, and they're the loveliest blokes you could meet.
Oh, yeah. There was one chap who used to work for us called Steve Satchell, and old handbag, and you just, if you needed something there at a specific time, you just get it. He had an old Turbo Star.
Yeah, I remember.
Do you remember that?
Like a creamy colour.
That's
one,
it, yeah, cream and like maroon.
Yeah,
and, that, I remember him coming up, he come back in the office, he said, I got a bit worried, because he's coming up the Chelmsford Bypass, and he was doing about 60-ish,
yeah.
And this copper with his speed gun, obviously, saw him, pulled him in, and he gave him his taco, and his cop looked at his taco and he went, "Oh, I have to get my gun recalibrated, because your taco's saying you're doing 56, or I had you like over 60. He said, "Oh yeah, you better go and get that check, mate." He said the old heart was going.
Yeah,
he said, car back in, boom, straight out to Phoenix. So yeah, he would no matter what time he got back, he'd be wherever he needed to be in the morning, for 8 o'clock or something. He was up there. There was,
but most of them sort of people were owner drivers, weren't they?
Yes, so, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they were doing it for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
they were the days as shippies. He was on Portbridge. They had all them beautiful 143s and
on the yellow F12, yellow with the stripes. The stripe. Yeah, they look lovely.
Absolutely stunning. Pulling them scabby old Portbridge trailers. Yeah,
The Freeman brothers, Carl and Tim, and Dave Mortimer, the professor. All that lot.
That was really. I learned a lot. You know, did learn a lot there.
Yeah,
and. I'll never forget it, because that was like probably one of the best times of my life.
Yeah.
In my driving career.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was people there who wouldn't speak to you, but most of them, as well as cracking on, not really wanting to stop.
Yeah.
They was, as I said earlier, they was all really nice blokes, and most of them were funny as well. You know?
Oh, definitely.
And you just think, how do you stay awake? And why aren't you grumpy?
Yes, yeah.
You haven't had any sleep for a week. How come you're still smiling?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that was great. All things come to an end at Perry's. I remember saying to Robert, I said, if I ever do get a new motor, can I go abroad?
Yeah.
And he said, well, think about it. Because all the trailers we were pulling from Felix, though, they're all Dutch trailers.
Yeah.
Mainly tipped and loaded in Germany and Holland.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, it wouldn't be too much to do that, but... That never happened, and I asked him three or four times when I had that. The 143.
Yeah.
M986 CDX. It's still about somewhere, if anybody knows where it is. Yeah, yeah.
I have to do a bit of detective work.
Yeah, yeah. That was blue and white last time I saw it, a picture of it. Anyway, I'd get going on at Robert. It ain't worth it. I said, all right, then. I'll go and find someone who will do it.
Yeah.
So I left there.
Yeah.
And I went to a bloke called James Baker.
Just down the road at Mendlesham.
Yeah, Mendlesham, yeah.
Doing similar work.
Yeah, tilt work for a different company called Auto Contacts.
Yeah.
You know, just doing the normal stuff. And then I started, I done my first trip abroad with one of his drivers. Can't remember where we went, somewhere in Germany. Then I'd done a trip with the boss himself. And then I used to do... groupage or whatever to Birmingham on a Monday, load for Germany Monday afternoon, get down to Dover, have a night out. That was when you could park next to where all the shops and that are in the old bus park.
Yeah.
Allegedly have night. That's a great word, allegedly.
Yeah,
you know?
It is, yeah.
It covers so many things.
I think we're beyond the statute of limitations, I think, aren't we?
I think so. Yeah, I used to crack on down to... Ingolstadt to the Audi factory.
Yeah.
Used to do that in a bit quicker than I should.
In 9 hours.
In a 9 hour drive, yeah. With a good couple of breaks in there.
Yeah, of course.
Tip that, and usually used to load paper from memory, about 50, 60 kilometres up the road, back up to England, and then finished the week off just doing a groupies job around the UK.
Yeah.
And that was great, but, all the time, I don't know how many days I ran proper, but that wasn't many.
Not many.
And the reward wasn't, that was all right, but that wasn't great.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll have a look about And I happened to be speaking to one of my old mates who was a H. Frost from Stanton driver.
Yeah, yeah.
He worked on Continental Cargo Carriers when I was on it. Derek Palmer, a lovely bloke. You couldn't wish to meet him. He's a really lovely bloke.
Yeah.
And I was speaking to him. And that surprised me because when he was at Frost, he was known as Day Cab Derek.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, what are you doing now? He said, look, Frost. He said, no, no. He said, I'm working for this bloke up the road. I'm doing like Poland. What?
Flip the neck.
Bloody hell. You're not Day Cab Derek.
No.
So, yeah, he said, yeah, he said, it's brilliant. He'd love it. And I said, is there any job school? He said, well, I'll ask. So the boss rung me up. He said, are you married? I said, no. He said, have you done Continental? I said, I've done a bit of Germany. He said, well, come and see me. He said, I've got he said, I've got another truck on the cards, what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to see him and I started for him about 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
I think my first job was Koblenz, sorry.
Yeah.
I think it was to Koblenz. And I had a F-16.
Not a bad boat to start with.
He bought an F-16, yeah. That was an ex...
John Fairweather's,
yeah. E-12 SVG, which, as John said, is the first F-16 in the country. A couple of people have disputed that, but I'd believe John because he's straight as a die.
Yeah.
So that was quite an old one when I had it. A fella bought it off John. He used to drive it for him.
Mm-hmm.
He stuck a tag axle on it, so that was a very long unit. I mean, when I was hooked up to a trailer, I could stretch my arms out and I couldn't touch either.
I mean, that must have been horrendous. That was bad enough on fuel in a solo, let alone with a massive cap like that.
Yeah, they drunk it. They drunk it.
Yeah, but went up a hill, though.
Yeah, went up a hill mighty fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've done a couple ends. I've done a Berlin. And I remember I got back 1 week and he said, how do you fancy going to Athens? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
So really, he went, yeah. He said, another one of our drivers is going. But yeah, all right then, yeah. I said, I'd love to, but yeah. That's handy to follow someone and get the gist of it.
That's it.
So, he went off in his, that was an ex-demo, L17 PWT. He all had personal plates on his lorry. That was an ex-Volvo demo, metallic blue. And there's me and my F-16, both on Franz Maz, both had tilts.
Yeah.
I had 3 drops around Athens and he had 2 in Thessaloniki.
Yeah. Which way did you go? Did you go down Ancona or further down? Can you remember?
Oh, yeah, we went Ancona.
Ancona
to Patras.
Patras.
Yeah.
The longboat.
Yeah, 24-hour boat.
Yeah.
We got down there and that was great because we got on the boat and there's about 8 or 9 of us.
Yeah.
There's a driver from Europa. Down Dartford Way.
Yeah, yeah.
Called Elvis.
Yeah.
And he sort of talked like Elvis. And he was a funny old boy.
Yeah.
There's some old boy who'd just come back to driving. He had a Eurotech.
Yeah.
I think he was an owner driver. I can't remember the others, but there's about at least 8 of us all around this table. And like you say, the silence is a 24-hour silence.
Yeah. So a few beers.
Well, a great night. Yeah. You can imagine.
Yes.
So then the hard work come when I had to get off the boat.
Yeah.
And, bloody hell, going to Athens.
Yeah.
So, you've done that. Anyway, my dog's just turned up. Sorry if you hear any funny noises. So, we've done Athens, and I had two or three collections from a reload from around northern Italy, Verona. I only remember Verona, but there was another 2 collections.
Yeah.
2 of them were Franz Maz depots.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd done that and come back, and the boss said, what do you reckon? I said, well, that's great. Yeah. So that was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So, carried on, done a bit of mostly Germany. I spoke a bit of German. I really enjoyed it. I'd done other places, done Switzerland. And anyway, he replaced all his lorries. He had two of these ex-demo Volvos, V1s, and my 16, and he got rid of them and he bought 5 420 CD Globetrotters.
Yeah.
Version 1s, obviously. NREG, they were.
Yeah.
They all had private plates on them. Because Volvo was so busy putting them out at the time, he said, he said, I've got 3 coming this week and 3 coming next week.
Yeah.
And 2 coming next week. But yours is one of the 2 coming next week. that's fine. I don't mind waiting.
Yeah.
He said, well, I sold your F-16. So if you take one of the L-regs just for a week,
yeah,
and when you get back, you can jump in your brand spanker.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. I said, what am I doing then? And Franz Mayer's had a regular job down to Muttons in Swiss.
Mm-hmm.
You tip a load of groupage at Muttons and then go into Strasbourg,
yeah,
another Franz Mayer's depot, and pick up a load out of there and come back. And that is a regular job.
Yeah.
Loads of people done it, and that must have been an everyday job as well.
Yeah.
I had this job down to Muttons.
Yeah.
Tip Muttons, reload Strasbourg and back. But we got down to Muttons and tipped. Bloke said, okay. So I went around the back to pull the flap down because that was on a tilt.
Mm-hmm.
And there was still half a trailer in there.
Ah.
So I said to the bloke, no, you tip everything. No. He said, speak to the chef. So I went upstairs, said, speak to the boss. He said, oh, you've got two deliveries. You've got one in Zurich and one somewhere else. Well, that's not the plan, yeah, but that's what's happening. So I rang my boss up. Yeah, that's fine, no problem, don't worry. So I'd done the other two deliveries and rang up, said, oh, Strasbourg now. Said, no, there ain't nothing in Strasbourg. There's nothing in Strasbourg. There's nothing in Strasbourg to pick up. I say, well, Franz Mayer, surely there's a load somewhere between Strasbourg and Calais.
Yeah.
So I sat in Muttons for a day.
Yeah.
And eventually got a phone call. Oh, we got your reload. Bearing in mind I was in somebody's motor, what he'd cleared out of.
Yeah.
Because he had his new lorry then. I'd only took a bag with like 3 days worth of clothes with me.
Yeah, for a quick Swiss and
just
back.
Just for a quick Swiss and back, 3-day job. Move into your new lorry Thursday, load Friday.
Yeah.
Off you go Sunday or Monday in your new lorry.
Yeah.
So I didn't take hardly anything with me. So, right, I've got my pen and paper out. Where am I reloading? I had 3 collections around Milan. Jesus Christ. So, are you sure? Yeah. Anyway, 2 collections at these places, and the third one was Franz Mayer's at Milan.
Yeah.
Done all that, got the paperwork sorted. I said, what am I doing with this trailer? He said, well, you deliver it. I said, no, I'm not delivering that. I said, I'm meant to be up yesterday. So I rang my boss up. What's going on? So I told him, hang on, I'll ring you back. Yeah, can you go with that? Yeah, all right. Jesus. 3-day trip, my backside. So my first drop was in Lisbon.
From Milan?
From Milan. My first drop was in Lisbon in Portugal.
Yeah.
My second drop was in Coimbra.
Yeah.
In Portugal.
Yeah.
And my third drop was in Porto in Portugal.
That was a nice little run if you had all your gear.
Yeah, if I had my gear. Well, I mean, you're driving from one side of Europe to the other.
Yeah.
And that was amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, bloody hell, how long are these pants and socks going to look like? You know? And that was, there was a football, I can't remember if that was a World Cup or a Euro or something. And at the time, I used to drink loads of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And I remember I stopped in one of the garages in France. I'll get a 6-pack of Coke. And I said, buy a 6-pack of Coke, get a free football T-shirt.
Right.
Oh, that'll do.
Yeah.
So 18 cans of Coke, please, mate.
Right. That's my wardrobe sorted.
Yeah, that's my wardrobe sorted for a few days. So, yeah, I had three nice, lovely football T-shirts to wear.
And as we all know, you're a mad football fan.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah, mad for the football. Yeah. England.
This episode of Matt's Truck and Grep podcast is proudly sponsored by Creasy Drainage. If you're dealing with blocked drains, flooding, or drainage problems, Creasy Drainage is the team to call. They provide professional drainage services for homes and businesses, including drain unblocking, repairs, septic tank emptying, and CCTV drainage surveys. They're known for fast response times, honest advice, and getting the job done right the first time. For reliable drainage services you can trust, check out Creasy Drainage. The details will be in the show notes.
Yeah, so we've done that.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Yeah.
Sat in Porto for 2 days again for a reload. You just think, Franz Mayer's had depots all over Europe.
Yeah.
You sit there for a day or two, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
I ended up going down to Coimbra.
Yeah.
And I got photos again. I had to load some old trucks and engines and chassis.
Okay.
And the chassis on the bottom, then the engines with the cabs on top of them. I think they were like old the old bullnose Bedfords and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'll show you pics.
Yeah.
And So spent all day loading that. Lovely bloke where I was. He took me to a restaurant and said, "That's on me." So I think that's where I had my first ever steak burger, because the bloke said, "You know what you want?" I said, "Chips." Anybody who know me will know.
Yeah.
Chips. And can I have steak? Yeah, what size? Large. And I'm not joking. I must have had an Alan Partridge 12-inch plate, and that was hanging off. That was massive. I thought, there's no way that's steak.
Yeah.
That's got to be a bit of horse. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
I like that. That was good. Anyways, I'm getting distracted. Come back. That was tipping in Coventry.
Yeah.
Tipped out at Coventry. Got back to the yard. My lorry had been to Germany 2 times and Holland once. There was bloody grease stuck off the boots on the mat in the central.
Oh, God.
You know, on the floor, so I had to get another mat.
So it was meant to be roughly a 3-day run.
It was a 3-day trip.
And 3 weeks, pretty much.
That was something, yeah. Two and a half weeks. I can't remember now, but that just took forever.
Yeah.
But when I got back, the boss said, "How'd you get on?" I said, "Well, apart from having a motor with nothing in it."
Yeah.
I said, "If I had my old lorry," I said, "that was amazing. That was, you know, driving across Southern Europe." I said, "I've never been to Portugal." And that was brilliant.
Yeah.
He said, "Do you want to go again?" I said, "Well, as long as you give me a bit of time to get my stuff together."
Yeah.
So I had my brand new FH.
Mm-hmm.
Had stuff in it, you know.
Yeah.
Had all my gear in it. It's great. And I'd done about 3 Portugals. And every time I'd done it, I was waiting for a reload. And my governor said, "Can't keep sending you there if they're going to park you up for a day."
Yeah.
So, fair enough. So I've done a couple of 3 Spines.
Mm-hmm.
And they were slow reloads, either waiting or getting to the place and having to take all day to load.
Yeah.
So then I just went back on Germany, bit of France, bit of Belgium, Holland, but mainly Germany, which I love. I love Germany.
Yeah.
And that was an experience.
Yeah.
I'm bloody hell. When I started going abroad, I thought if I could get to Germany, that'd be like,
you made it.
That'd be my driving career. I'd be so happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, a year or two later, I was sitting in Athens.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in an F-16. What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
You know, bloody Lord.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was amazing.
So what happened with Paul Williams then?
he's a funny old boy. Unbeknown to me, he started finding loads for me, just doing UK work.
Yeah.
Where the others were still
doing European.
Going across the water, yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember I went in the office, I said, "Oh, that's 2 weeks." I said, I ain't had a sniff of Dover, really.
Yeah.
And, that's better. I pay a bit better, and that's handy to have a lorry close by.
Yeah.
No. So I didn't come here to do UK work. I didn't go abroad. Well, that's how it is. That's what's going to be. So I said, I'll find another job then.
Yeah.
So the next, I'll give him a week's notice, still on UK. The next week on the Friday, I was emptying my lorry out, and this bloke who I'd never seen before, he, "All right, mate. Yeah, what can I do for you?" He said, "Can you hurry up? I've got to take that motor to Cali, you know." I shan't say what I thought.
Charming.
It wasn't very pleasant.
No, I can imagine.
So, sure, I don't know if this is right date-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a phase. I had so many jobs in 10 years.
Yeah.
I think I went to Morrison Freight at Ipswich after that.
Yeah.
And they were brilliant.
A lot of Germany, wasn't it, for Morrison's?
Yeah. I don't think I'd done anything apart from Germany.
Yeah.
We had these old DAF 85s.
Or with the hatcher
roof. With the hatcher roof, yeah. They were bloody horrible.
Really?
Yeah. They were. The top of them didn't have no insulation in them, in the hatcher bit.
Yeah.
And I remember I was sitting outside the goods inn in Germany one winter, and that was like minus 17 or something, because they had a big old temperature gauge on the wall near the door. And I looked, bloody hell. And I peeled back my curtains. We got a hammer and peeled them back.
Yeah.
And there's ice on the inside of the wind. That was absolutely freezing.
Yeah.
But they were great. They were a big company.
Yeah.
Sort of around our way.
Yeah.
Everybody basically done Germany. There was a bit of other places every now and again, but most of the time that was just Germany.
Yeah.
And I loved it, apart from the lorry.
Yeah.
We had we all had tilts.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
The tilt I had on my truck was I think that was made by Overlander.
Yeah.
A British company.
Yeah.
So I had a British tilt. Yeah, just Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Loved it. That was 98.
Yeah.
Not around about 98. And that's when I first got married.
Yeah.
And I was spending a lot of money. I was using their phone to ring the missus up. And they didn't like that, so they bollocked me, so I left. But that was a really... But just ironically, just after I left,
yeah,
they started buying 95 space cabs, which were a dream compared to their 85s, yeah, and Euroliners.
Yeah.
So they got rid of all of... About 3 or 4 weeks after,
yeah,
they all had these nice new lorries and yeah, nice new trailers. And they started doing a lot of Italy then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what it was. So... I think after that I went to work for a bloke called Tinkler, A.H. Tinkler.
Yeah.
And he came from, I think he came from Hunstanton, up that area.
Yeah.
But his yard was a bit further south around the Norfolk coast. I can't remember exactly where. I can't even remember how I got the job.
Yeah.
But that was working for Schenker's.
Yeah.
Step frame tilt.
Yeah.
And that is where my hatred of Renault Magnums stems from. I had a M35, I think that's ELB or something, M35. Anyway, that was a 420 tag axle Magnum.
Yeah.
And at the time, I believe that was about a year and a half to 2 years old. So yeah, that was quite modern. And people still looked at them when you was driving them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And... we used to tip on a Monday what you'd bought back on the Friday from Germany.
Yeah.
In a super cube, yeah, step frame.
Tilt.
So handball.
Tilt.
There's no pallets. Yeah, tilt.
Tilt.
Schenker's.
Yeah.
Then I'd go somewhere, which I honestly can't remember. It wasn't that far away. Then I'd go down to somewhere near Sittingbourne.
Yeah.
And pick up car carpets or something like that. Then go back to Barking, to Schenker's, to fill up with groupage. And then I'd ship out. Deliver the car carpets to this place in Germany, and the rest of the stuff would go down to Schenker's at Nuremberg.
Yeah.
Then I would have to go about an hour down the road from Nuremberg. Is it Nuremberg or Nuremberg?
Yeah.
The one down the south anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever, and loads, what's it called? Playmobil. Sort of like Lego.
Yeah.
Lego. And that,
yeah, Playmobil,
stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to sit in there all day while they loaded it up, handball, in a step frame, too.
Yeah.
With boxes of...
Playmobil.
Yeah, boxes of Playmobil.
At least it was light.
Yeah, that's a bloody good job with a truck. And, yeah, I'd go back to Schenker's for the... get all the proper paperwork in order and that. And then I'd always run my time out, and I'd always finish up near Cologne.
Yeah.
I remember I always used to come up the cat's back, not going down the cat's back, but coming up the cat's back.
Yeah.
About 20 mile an hour.
Yeah.
Just swearing like a trooper. That was just an awful lorry.
Yeah.
My timing used to run out around that sort of area.
Yeah, yeah.
And allegedly, I used to get home about 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
Because the thing just wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
Because it never got going. It couldn't stop, you know. So, we done what we had to.
Yes.
To get
try home. And catch up.
Because the bloke said, that's a Monday to Thursday night job. And that actually was a Monday, if you do it properly, that was a Monday to Saturday dinner time job.
Yeah.
That was, apart from the truck, that was all right. Because that's just a lovely drive through Germany and a lovely drive back, basically. Mm-hmm. But the lorry made it absolute...
hard work.
Made it hard work.
Yeah.
And his money, I said about the money and that. I said, I can't keep doing this for this money.
Yeah.
Because I used to park a truck at Chelmsford. So I had to drive from Norfolk
down to
Chelmsford near the services.
Yeah.
To get my truck.
Yeah.
I said, no. I said, the money, that was bad.
Yeah.
But that was a job. And I wasn't there that long. So we got off that. And we went to, am I talking too much?
No, no, it's the whole point. It's the whole point of a podcast, isn't it? Have a chat.
And I went to a company in Walsham Le Willows.
Yeah.
Near Bury St. Edmunds called Ace G Moore and Son.
Oh, yeah.
You know them?
Yeah, I know them. Yeah. They're still going, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. So I see David now and again. He don't recognise me because of who I work for, but yeah, he's still going.
Yeah. So it's back on the traction work out of things,
yeah, though? Yeah. So he gave me a job. I said, right. I said, I've always been fussy with what I drive. I said, what am I driving? He said, oh, I got that. That's about a 3-year-old Eurotech.
Yep.
I said, oh. I said, you can just sort of forget everything. And he said, what, did you come here for a job? I said, well, I was told that you were getting 2 XF space cabs, 95s.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I am. It's all 30 space cab, 4-wheelers. I said, well, if I can't have that one, he had a Centurion. I said, if I can't have that Centurion, because I was Billy Big Balls, because I'd been there and done it. If I can't have that Centurion, I'll have a new DAF. Oh. He hummed and hard. He said, well, I do know you, and I do know that you sort of look after what you get.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, so, all right, then you can have a new DAF.
Well, that's it. You don't ask, you don't get.
I sort of like the fun, but yeah, so we had that. No spoiler kit on it.
No.
Just a cab with a sun visor on it. Speedline alley wheels, which are absolutely disgusting. I've mainly done Geest.
Yeah, when Geest used to do trailers.
Yeah. When that was quite a short-lived thing for Geest, I think.
Yeah.
But that was all good. That was all like one-hit work.
Yeah.
One tip, one reload and back. Mm-hmm. And all sort of back to Felixstowe.
Yeah.
Work was good. The lorry was all right.
Yeah.
And I kept pestering him to go abroad. Because that's what
the pattern here.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
But he wouldn't.
No, he did. He gave in the end, David. I said, you know, so can I go abroad? We'll go abroad. I had another all this old car. I'd done this years ago, you know.
Yeah.
Continental cargo carrier. I said, we'll go abroad. And he rang me up one day. He said, you're going out Monday to Austria. Oh, all right then, yeah.
Lovely old job.
I can't remember who that was for. That was just one of them lot what advertise in the back of truck magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably didn't have nothing, no profit from it.
No.
But just to shut me up.
Catch you caught for a week,
yeah. So I went down to Austria, can't remember where, tipped, reloaded. That's a good word. One hit, one reload again.
Yeah.
Tipped Redden, back up to Felixstowe, had a CTR trailer, dehired that at CTR, and picked a Geest trailer up for the next week and carried on that.
So it's just the one trip?
That's all it was, yeah. But I wanted to get back abroad and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I shan't bother going into the details, but the bloke I know worked for, and had been for a long time, working for a company in Sweden.
Yeah.
And I said, if you ever have a job come up, give me a ring. I said, I'd love to have a bit of that.
Yeah.
And about 4 or 5 years later, he goes, do you remember me? I said, because I do, yeah. He said, we have just had an opening come up for a job. I said, all right. So I went to see him. Yeah, and I started that. I remember because Moores also did Chaser.
Yeah.
Out of place down the A143.
Yeah.
Chedbra.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in this field, or on the side of a field, waiting for a tractor to come and tow me out. Because of mud and, you know, and daft. So, I was really pissed off, and that's when he rung me up. So we went and done that.
Yeah.
And went to see him, started the job. I went out. He drove me down to Chelmsford Services to meet. There was 4 English drivers. One of them had Keith, who you know.
Yeah, Keith Williams.
He'd moved to Belgium.
He's
had a woman in Belgium.
Yeah.
And I got his job. I went out with another driver, Simon. We drift down to Tongeren in Belgium to this massive, I don't know how long it had been open, not very long, SKF, who made the Bearings from Sweden, their European distribution place. And opened the gates. He said, that's your lorry there, Keith's old lorry, parked just inside the gates. Just outside the gates. Keys are on the waterhead or tank, whatever. Okay, he said, just come round the back, you'll see me around there and we'll sort what happened from here in the morning. Yep, because I was at Chelmsford about 6 o'clock at night, so this is about 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Yep, fair dues. And I got in this Swedish, obviously Swedish, but Swedish registered in this V1 420 CD four-wheeler. And if I remember rightly, Keith said to me that was one of the very first FHs to go on the road before they launched them. That's like one of the test trucks.
Yeah.
So that had done a lot by the time I'd got it. And I got in it. Right, this left-hand drive.
Is this the first left-hand drive?
First left-hand drive I drove,
yeah.
Well, this is proper. Got in it, and the gates were most about as wide as a trailer.
Yeah.
I nearly took the mirror off the gate going through it. I don't know how this is going to pan out. Anyway, got sorted the next day. We pulled tilts, and we took what the job was taking SKF bearings from Belgium, where we were, up to TNT at Northampton.
Yep.
Overnight, and running a timeout wherever on the way back down. SKF had a big place in Luton at the time. Sometimes we'd park in there. Or sometimes I'd go right back down to Eurotunnel, because at the time with Eurotunnel, you could park for free.
Right.
If you was using the tunnel.
Using the train.
Which we was.
Yeah.
We was using it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, we was doing that. And they also, we'd do 2 weeks of going to Tongeren to Northampton. You'd do three trips and then two trips the next week to keep your hours right.
Yeah.
And the other two drivers who you'd swap with after 2 weeks, you'd be going to Ede in Holland, where Schenck, because they've got a distribution centre, you'd load up the same stuff from there and go back to Northampton. But that was, you'd do that during the day.
Right, okay.
So you'd do 2 weeks of nights, 2 weeks of days.
Yeah.
And that was great. The money was all right.
Good truck. Legal running?
Yeah. Allegedly, yeah. No, nearly, yeah, very, very, probably 95% at least, yeah. Very rarely you did anything naughty, but that was a great job. He was on there for a couple of 3 years. Then the bloke that owned it, William, Keith will write and tell you that this is all wrong what I'm saying, but this is only how I remember it.
Yeah.
William sold the, William being the boss of the company on Sala.
Yeah.
On Sala Acuity Actibulaget, I think that's the full name.
There you go.
That's what I had written in the headboard.
Mm-hmm.
And, William, the boss, sold it to a bloke or a conglomerate of people. I think that's to a bloke. And for whatever reason, he just ran it into the ground.
All right.
So that was it. Job finished.
Yeah.
So, I did get to go to where I'd never been. I did get to go to Sweden three or four times.
That's good.
Just running from Belgium and Holland to Northampton, but
yeah,
every now and again, or once a week, I think it was, when you was doing the Holland bit, you'd run a trailer up to Kiel in Germany to go unaccompanied direct to Gothenburg, and you'd get up there about 5 o'clock at night, and the boat would come in the morning, and they'd load the trailer that you'd dropped. And then there'd be an unaccompanied one coming down to go down to Holland or Belgium. Belgium it was, down to Tongeren, not to Holland. And you'd pick that up. Well, anyway, on the way to Kiel one day, I was coming up to Hamburg and I got a phone call from, I forgot his name, fella in the office. Anyway, he said, "Where are you?" I said, 50, 60 kilometres from Hamburg. Okay, he said, this time, he said, "You'll come to Onsala." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "There's no trailer on the ship." He says, "So the trailer you've got, you can bring to Sweden." I said, "Oh, okay." And I was like, yes, I'm going to Sweden. Oh, my God. And I've done that.
Did you get on the boat or do you go around and drive overland up to Sweden?
No, got on the boat.
Got on the boat at Kiel.
Kiel on the...
Lovely.
Was it Stenner? I can't think what the name of the boat. I don't know boat names, but I remember.
Or TT lines?
No, that was.
Yeah, Stenner.
That was a Stenner.
Yeah.
And I had like three PlayStation and that all on it. And and I was like, bloody hell, man. It's like the.
In your element.
Very similar to the boats on the going to Greece.
Yeah.
From Ancona to Patras and that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And there's. I didn't know where the yard was. I couldn't find, for love nor money, I couldn't find a decent map of Gothenburg area. And I stopped in his garage. Swedish lorry that says on Sola,
yeah.
Akiri, AB, Gothenburg, Sweden, with a Swedish trailer on it. And I went in and I said to this bloke, do you speak English? He went, yes, yes, yes. I said, you see my truck? He said, yes, yes, on Sola, yeah. I said, can you tell me where the yard is? Where is the depot? And he said, you don't know, but you drove their truck. I said, this is my first time to Sweden. So I didn't really feel very good with that, but it was quite amazing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got in there, went out with the son and done the deliveries on the trailer that I had, and actually met the boss. I'd been there about a year at least, and his wife, who was part of the company as well, and that's brilliant.
Yeah.
All the drivers, good as gold. Yeah, but so then that just finished. So
it's a shame.
Yeah.
There we go.
That was. So then I went to our mutual friend, Call for Clark. Yeah.
Good old Badger.
Yeah. I've done a bit. Well, when that job finished, I'll tell a lie, I worked for Star Transport at Thetford.
Did you really?
Yeah, just for a couple of 3 months.
Yeah.
Driving, I had a 124-400, one of the very first ones that had the water bottle tap on the front. What am I on about? Let her edit this bit as well.
The water bottle tap?
The fucking radiator. That had the radiator cap on the front. The very first ones had a radiator cap on the
right,
front.
Okay.
Instead of that sort of big grill, what they got.
Yeah.
If you find a picture of a really old one.
Yeah.
I think it did anyway. But it's definitely, you could tell a really old one.
Yeah.
From a modern one. Anyway, I'd done that for a couple of months and I got on really well with the old boy in there, the boss. He died 2 years ago, apparently. I remember once I loaded me up on Frodo. I had 13 drops around Scotland, mainly, not all, but mainly around Glasgow area.
Central Belt.
Sort of. Yeah, Central Belt. And I got all them off, and the last delivery was the biggest thing on the trailer. That was basically a swimming pool for a horse. Well, for veterinary things, yeah, for their limbs, like aqua thing.
Aquatherapy or something.
Yeah. So I got to this farm and I thought, that's a long way down there. So I walked down, I said, yeah, that's fine. I said, can I turn around in an Arctic? No, there's not enough room for that. So I had to reverse about 600 yards down this track. And the bloke said, when are you going to tip her? I said, you tip her when you want, mate. I said, it's up to you. Now it'd be nice.
Yeah.
He said, have you bought a crime? I said, pardon? He said, have you bought a crime? I said, no. He said, how are we going to get it off the trailer? I said, well, that's...
I don't know.
In all honesty, mate, I said, I'm not being funny, but that's your job.
Yeah.
Oh. He said, we'll sort it out in the morning. So I got tipped the next morning. But the thing was, when I got back, I'd done a reload and got back down to Thetford, and saw the bloke in the office, and he, bloody hell, he said, you done well, didn't you? I said, what is that? He said, you had 13 drops. I said, yeah, I know. He said, well, Monday was a bank holiday in Scotland.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I'd got 12 drops off. I know two of them were up the main... What's the main street called in Glasgow?
Socky Hall Street?
No.
There's a shopping one.
Well, anyway, the main sort of drag through Glasgow, where all the big shops are.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was delivering to shops and that as well. But that was good going on a bank holiday. You know?
Yeah.
I got nearly all my drops off. So, yeah, anyway, that didn't last that long.
I suppose just not European work, is it?
No. So then I went to... Call for Clark.
Yeah.
Barry Clark Haulage.
Good old Badger.
Badger, yeah. He was at the time in Stowmarket.
Yeah.
Near Ipswich. And
back on tilts.
Well, he rang me up. He rang me up when I was at Stars. Well, I just started at Stars. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, the job in Sweden is finished, so I'm just doing a bit at Stars. He said, you ought to come and drive for me. Well, he hadn't been going that long. He only had a couple of lorries. I said, what are you doing? And he said, you know, IRF, International Road Ferry, which has sort of come from the remains of Continental Cargo Carriers, who sort of...
There's a bit of a management buyout with them and Nipress, wasn't there? And they all sort of went bust and...
Yeah, it was a bit of a to-do, wasn't it?
Yeah. Jed at IRF?
Yeah, Jed Pace, yeah. He was a nice old boy. Yeah. He's still about. I said, well, what am I going to be driving? Because Laurie's like... He said, well, what do you want? What do I want? If I bought you something, what would you have? Well, I'd like a left-hand drive. He said, how about a V8? I said, really? He said, always wanted a V8. I said, yeah, left-hand drive V8, that'd be great. And through Neil Gerald, truck dealer, extraordinaire, big-time Volvo fella, isn't it?
Yeah.
He managed to bring, I think he bought two back from Austria, Austrian spec, 144, 530, 4x2, classic cab, and... That was me.
Yeah. I wonder who had the second one.
I can't remember.
God knows. Nice truck, though.
Beautiful truck. Amazing.
Right. We're just going to have to put the virtual handbrake on, Carl, for a quick comfort stop, and we shall split this into two episodes. So thank you for listening, everybody, and join us next week for part two with Carl Kindysides. Cheers.